This cup's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How we doing? How we doing? We went down to the south coast of Spain and we played some Spanish football, sir. The ref had an absolute nightmare of a game. And honestly, I think Granada just pulled us into just a shitty match based on the way it was officiated. But either way, the boys get the result. Two big goals on the road. Marcus with another like fantastic finish and a clean sheet, penalty to boot. How we feeling? How we doing?
Sir, America Red Devils, big win in the South Coast, Andalusia, I would say, in Granada. We're going streaking, baby, into the semifinals. Manchester United, you love to see it. This trophy, I believe it's our time. Probably play in Roma. But again, Ole needs a trophy. These lads need a trophy. Cannot wait. Need a big final as a Manchester United fan. It's been too long.
Part of getting a trophy is you're going to eventually have to go to Spain. You're going to eventually have to play against a Spanish opponent. You will never find a more Spanish opponent in European football than Granada today. It's like went in studs up on every tackle and basically you touched them and they flopped like they'd been tased. But either way, got a huge result. Big victory. Big away goals. We're going to miss three players for the next leg. But like you said, should be job done for the most part. We just got to keep it tight. Back of the house when we are playing in Old Trafford. But either way, feeling good, sir. How are we doing?
No, and, you know, the referee lost the game. First, he kind of came out. I thought they were playing a little bit. You know, players went down. He ignored them. Then all of a sudden started handing out yellows to United like crazy. It didn't make any sense. Rashford got his ankle stomped on. Play on. It was absolutely just muppetry. But then he gives us the penalty for Bruno Fernandes, another... Sir, he's from the Iberian Peninsula as well. He went down in the box pretty heavy-handed after this sort of face shove. I'll take it at the end of the day. 2-0, two goals coming back to Old Trafford. It's a big cushion. I think we can take a deep breath next week, finish him off, and it's on to the semifinals. And again, Manchester United, always got to break the semifinal curse, and then we need to win a final. I think we have the team. I think we have the squad to do it. Unfortunately, obviously, Martial's out, but we got Pogba. We got Cavani. We got Greenwood. Dan James,
Donny van de Beek, Amad Diallo. The list goes on. United does have some options. You know, no one wants to have Martial out of commission, but we do have a relatively deep bench at the moment. So we got to talk about the streaker. Hilarious. It feels like fans are on their way back. You know, it's like if you have a streaker, that means you're almost back to normalcy. I don't want to talk about the streaker anyway. That was funny.
It looked like the guy's been living in the stadium for about 2 months.
He looks like Castaway, like the guy's been on an island for 3 years.
Yeah, no, it looked like he was kind of like he's been living in the stadium eating all the leftover food from like before the COVID shutdown. And then all of a sudden, he just decided to wake up a little early, run across the pitch. Hey, Granada, if you've ever been to the south of Spain, they're cut from a different cloth, sir. He must have been woken up from a siesta, came out.
He might have been, you know, hot day, whatever it was. But we got to talk about the game for a bit. I think it kind of regressed to a shit show. A lot of United fans are not super happy with what they saw today. But that's because you have to say the ref, like, lost the game early. They were going so dirty. And then United tried to do the same to them. And we got yellow, yellow, yellow. And it was kind of an off-balance day. So I think at the end, the penalty is karma's a bitch. They were doing that all day. They got Maguire a yellow. They got Matic a yellow. It's like they were making a scene of everything. And then Bruno's like, I know this game. You kicked me in the face. Penalty, let's go. They almost saved it, but it was a huge goal. Feeling good. Can't wait for the weekend. Oh. Spurs, let's go.
No, the look, United fans, it's like one of those, are United entertained? And it's like, come on, man. It's like, we watched that game. We said it. Granada's going to pack it in. They did. I think it was like almost 10 men, like 9 men behind the ball, obviously 10, including the keeper. They like basically made it very difficult for United, and we're just not good, dude. We're trying to pass it around side to side, very slow. Again, we did the same exact sort of motifs were there, and it's like we're not trying to break them down, increase tempo at all. And so you kind of saw more of the same. And then a moment of brilliance, Lindelof to Rashford connection, opens up the game. And we've seen that so much from this United side. And we just knew that was going to be the case going in. What we're watching is some Europa League football. Well, you know, I watched PSG Bayern Munich. Didn't look like that. I watched Dortmund versus City. Didn't look like that. You know, but we're a Europa League team playing a Europa League competitor away in Spain. And they were going to make it messy. And it was sloppy from time to time. I'm not going to say as a United fan, that was some great football from us today. But as a fan, it's about results, sir. It's a results-based business. We win their Europa League title. The players aren't going to care. Ole's not going to care. And the fans aren't going to care. So look, it's an away night in Granada, 2-0. You're really going to complain? Come on.
No, of course not. The result is very important. It's huge to get those away goals. It's huge to keep a clean sheet. You know, we're going to have some players missing the next round. Might be good for Maguire to get a rest. But it's all about getting that silverware because Premier League's not happening this year. Staying in second is important, but getting a piece of silverware to take the boogeyman off of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's back, as well as build some confidence for some of the boys who haven't won a piece of silverware at United yet. It's very important, and we know why. So today was kind of like, you know, the bosses, sir. You go down to Spain, that's a boss. It's like you got to play these players that are like so... So they were that was a pain in the ass. Watching that game, it's like it, you know, I think that's why La Liga's on the decline, because people don't want to watch that shit.
No, it was tough to watch. But sir, you could talk about the Granada players dropping like flies all day. Quick PSA for the podcast. If you like the American Red Devils, we are for fans by fans. We are only fan supported. That's right. We have no independent sponsors. We're not hawking underwear, sir, or anything else on this podcast. We want to be supported by you, the fans, directly. We think the best way to do that is Patreon. If you're interested in supporting independent fan content, check out our Patreon page at www.patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. There's four tiers. You can support us from anything from $1 a month to $20 a month. We're giving away scarves, stickers, pins, etc. We're building something there, and we actually released an exclusive Patreon podcast every month where we answer all your mailbag questions. We're trying to build this fan community, sir. It's going great. Absolutely love it. America Red Devils. And another great way to support the podcast, check out our store. If Patreon isn't your thing, you can pick up some great merch and our blog. Check out our blog, completely fan-owned, fan-written, sir. That's what we're all about, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. Sir, tell them about the iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews are one of the best ways for you to support the American Red Devils without spending a single dollar. All you have to do is write a 5-star review on iTunes. If it has some cheeky banner, even better, send a screenshot to AmericaRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and we will ship out some free Stanley Chow design stickers to your door ASAP. And it's a great way to support the pod, great way for us to be found organically online, and it doesn't cost a single dollar, sir. What else we got?
I think that's it. Support the America Red Devils for fans by fans. We love it.
We love it. And a special shout out this week to Sankul, a fan of the pod, friend of the pod, went down very ill. And everybody at the America Red Devils is rooting for you and sending our best. So stay strong, my man. You know, we're wishing you all the best. Keep your head up, sir. Let's break down that Granada match.
Let's get into it. Granada 0, Manchester United 2 at the Nuevo Los Carmenes Stadium. Europa League quarterfinals, leg 1. Cannot believe Granada made it to the quarterfinals, but wait, they played Molde in the last round. Oh, wait, it's Europa League. Not that big of a surprise, sir. Lineup. We had Dave Saves, world number 1 in net. The Spaniard is back in España, like I said. He's the man for the job. Luke Shaw, left back, Maguire, Lindelof, center back pairing, Wan-Bissaka on the right, Pogba, McTominay, midfield, Rashford, talk about grit week, baby, on the left, Bruno Fernandes and Dan Mini-Me James on the right with Mason Greenwood up top. Sir, what'd you make of this lineup from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer?
When I saw this 11, you know, you say Ole's taking it seriously. He's not messing around too much. He's going with some of the big guns, right? Pogba, Rashford, who needs a blow, and you would expect him maybe to get a rest, come on as a sub. He's starting. I liked Greenwood up front. I liked him getting a shot at the number nine role. And Dan James, pace for days, got the shit kicked out of him today by Granada, but who didn't? And Dave stays back in net. I like that. Spaniard back in Spain. And what does it say? Is there anything about our second-rung keeper playing Europa League, sir? Like Romero did when we took him to the final? What do you make of that 11?
Pogba's got to be playing higher up the pitch, right? And I saw it today. I mean, it's just, why is Pogba playing it side to side? I thought you'd want to feature him on the left, give Rashford a blow, Greenwood on the right, Cavani up top. You know, I think Pogba, when you play him on the left, although he's not a left winger, it's just he's going to be more advanced and he's going to be able to use that special, you know, the special Pogba sauce he's got. Maybe link up with Bruno Fernandes, create something great, be able to break down the side that we know is going to be intent to defend, right?
No doubt. But, you know, we've talked about we need a little more creativity in the midfield. McTominay and Fred didn't always do it. I don't think it was a bad shout to put him in. He does seem to play the best with Matic behind him. But, hey, try something new, Pogba McTominay combo, why not?
But I just felt like he was too far, you know, he needs to get further up the pitch in these types of games, right? It's kind of like you play a Mata, you play a Pogba, that they're going to pack 10 men behind the ball. They need to be in dangerous areas. I don't think Pogba was. Think about him in and around the box, headers, flicking headers. Whenever he's in the box, he's dangerous, and I like to see him get further up the pitch. Today was just a little bit side to side. But, sir, before we get into the match, we got our favorite DJs here at the American Red Devils dropping the beat.
Are you ready? Let's go, Hans and Franz. So the longer we go in this tournament, the more you're going to hear this song.
Sir, should we jump in the first half?
Let's do it. The game, it opened at a frantic pace, sir, and the highlight early, 7th minute, naked streaker runs across the pitch. That was like some of the most exciting thing that happened in the first 20. 27th minute, Rashford curls a nice effort just over, but it was finally United starting to quicken the pace a little bit and cut between the lines of that Sociedad side.
But, sir, it was a tough opening 30 minutes, realistically, for Manchester United, you know? What happened to the music?
It's there. I just turned it down so people could hear us.
Dude, I just want to, you know, it's like we're playing Granada, you know, it's like, I just felt like we didn't really, it seems like no matter who we play, how can you beat City 2-0 and then come out like that? You know what I'm saying? Like what is it? Is it playing down to the competition? Is it the travel? Like, you know, I'm trying to search for something here. I just felt like it was a tough go here.
They played us just like Brighton played us. They packed everybody in. They forced us wide. And at the same time, they fouled the crap. Every time we tried to link something up, they'd foul the crap out of us. We got no free kicks. And then when we tried to kind of like bring it to them, we got yellows like left, right, center. I think that kind of messed up our mojo because every time we tried to link something up, dude, they would pull shenanigans. And that's kind of hard to compete with. So it took an individual moment of brilliance from two different players.
No, totally. But do you think it's... This team looks tired. You know, that's what I'm trying to understand. It's like United just look tired. I think mentally this season's been a huge drain. I think that's underestimated. I don't think people are talking about that. I mean, like, clearly you're like, play it faster. Where's the tempo? Where's the intensity? And for whatever reason, I think Ole has been hesitant to rotate, and we're seeing just fatigue all around. Marcus Rashford's barely going to make it into the season. I hope he gets the summer off, but he's probably going to play for England. You know, I just think this team is tired, man.
Oh, I think you're spot on, because he's been relying on a lot of the same players, and this season has been relentless, like unbelievable, nonstop. Remember, we never even got a summer break, right? The players got no preseason, and all of a sudden they're playing games after playing games over the summer. Obviously, the season ran late because of the COVID shutdown. But now you got the same thing, right? The international break. There we go. The international break.
Sir, did we miss the beat drop from Hans and Franz? You're supposed to be on it.
Sorry, we were in the middle of something. We were talking. You were talking. I didn't want to overshadow what the smart thing you were saying at that moment.
Sir, we do the podcast live. You're supposed to just crank up the Hans and Franz when the beat drops.
Yep. We'll do it live. Fuck it.
Well, that's part of the thing you get.
Apologies to Hans and Franz. We talked over the beat drop. I know they're going to be offended, sir. We could talk about all the reasons why we kind of had that slow start. But again, I just want Manchester United to be confident and boss a game. That's what I'm looking for here, especially against an opponent like this. Again, I feel how we come out a little tentative. But hey, you know, Granada going for the kill.
Granada going for the kill, sir. And then this goal literally came out of nowhere because the TV coverage missed it. I mean, they literally missed the goal in the 31st minute. Rashford is red.
And here's a chance, and Manchester United have got through and scored. Marcus Rashford with the finish. All too easy for the visitors there.
I mean, this is your classic United goal this season. Not necessarily piecing it together as a team goal, but an unbelievable pass from Lindelof over the top. Great run from Rashford. What a touch. And a nice, calm, composed finish from the youngster. Need more of those goals, but a great goal for Marcus to hit his 20th goal of the season.
Marcus Rashford, absolutely class. I mean, he's injured, playing injured. Ole said he wasn't ready for 90, played 70, gets his goal. You know, moment of brilliance. Shout out Victor Lindelof, the Iceman, the long ball. I mean, inch perfect. The run was perfect, everything. And again, this is what United's been relying on lately. Moment of brilliance. Boom, we get our goal. I thought this would kind of open up Granada a little bit. We would be able to score, maybe hit that 4-1. I thought we could. But Granada actually got back into the game. 41st minute, they hit the post. It was nervy, back and forth. This kind of woke Granada up a little bit.
It did. Sometimes it happens to us. We need a goal to kind of inject a little adrenaline into our blood and get us moving. They started. I mean, they were pushing this whole game, of course. Every time they get the ball, they push forward. But last 5 minutes, wasn't a huge chance, but it did ricochet off that post. I hope De Gea had his near post covered. But they ended with a flash.
This is from number 24 on Granada, Kennedy, who also stamped Rashford's ankle and then got away with it earlier. And that was the most insane part is, like, he's going for his injury, number one. And then the ref doesn't even give him doesn't even blow the whistle.
Dude, it was a disgrace. It was actually, like, at moments disgraceful from the players on Granada, from the, like, just their total mindset of how they're going to play that game. They had no intention to go play football. They intention to, like, make a scene, try and get players sent off. It was actually, like, kind of an embarrassment because it should be a football match. You know, we played other Spanish sides. We played Sevilla. We played Sociedad. Sevilla is the only one that was close. Maybe it's the Andalusia thing. But this was, like, another level, bro. The stamp on Rashford. There were so many, like, fouls like that. Every time we touched them, they fell over like they got pushed. It took away from the game. It made it much less enjoyable to watch. Maybe that's because United just hasn't been the high-flying United side we saw earlier in the season, but they kind of, like, dragged us into the mud and became a mud fight.
Sir, you know, you have some Spaniard in you.
No doubt.
So, you know, I know, but via Puerto Rico,
yeah,
right?
But I'm out in Andalusia, yeah, north of Madrid, yeah, sir.
Just saying, like, you seem to not like Spanish football nor appreciate Spanish football. You don't like the shithousery of the game.
I mean, I appreciate, like we were talking about it on the Patreon pod, sir. If you weren't a United fan, what fan might you be? Maybe Barca for the majesty of Camp Nou. It's like, I know how good Spanish football can be, but this is also how bad it can be. And it's like, we're not even going to try and, like, outplay you. We're going to try and, like, outwit the freaking ref. And he got bamboozled in the first half. He was a little bit better in the second half, but the first half was, like, a disgrace.
I don't think any United fan would disagree with you, sir. What do you make of the first half? Any changes for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer here? How do you think the team did?
You know, I would have thought maybe about bringing another creative player on. You know, like, Rashford looked beat. He got his goal. Maybe you pull Rashford, put a Donny in, push up Pogba a little bit. I like that, what you're saying, because they're a small team. They're tiny tots. They're not, you know, they're not Stoke. So using his size in and around the box might have been a good change. And I liked as soon as Donny came on, I thought he was such class today for the little bit of time he got. So talking about, you know, players looking tired, sir, it's true. It's because Ole keeps relying on the same boys over and over again. And he needs to know that, you know, he's got talent on the bench. You just got to use it. What do you think after the first half?
I thought Ahmad for James would have been good. You know, James, towards the end of the first half, he had a few, like, really bad looks. And you know, sometimes it's just not your day. I know why James is playing there. He's got more discipline, but I just want a little more of that ruthless factor. It's like Granada, they're eighth. We got the goal. We know they're going to be there on the counter. let's finish it tonight. Let's win it tonight. I think Fergie put the boot on the neck. The mentality of what Manchester United is to do that, not to sit around and wait for the 1-0. You know, I really thought this is like, come, let's take the game 3-0. Let's win it here. Oh, we can rest some lads and then get ready for the semifinal.
Didn't quite turn out that way until the very end, sir. We jumped into that second half. Immediate sub, Telesson for Shaw. That's always concerning, right? Because it looks like it could be an injury. And there wasn't a ton to it in that early going. It's more of the same, you know, kind of a scrappy, ugly match. Ref was trying to get a handle on things. Granada were just trying to stay in it by falling over as much as they could. 58th minute, Maguire actually had a pretty good chance. Just surged through the midfield and actually on his right foot blasted one just wide to the left. It wasn't a bad take by the captain.
No, he gets it. It's like, hey, we're up one goal. Like, let's go. Let's go for it. Let's go for it. Yeah, I love it for Maguire. Next one, 65th minute sub, Cavani for Rashford, sir. I'm just telling you, I'm reading the tea leaves. Cavani not starting in this game means he's going home. He's going back to Uruguay, sir. Going back to South America. That says it all for me. What do you think of that one?
No, I was thinking the same thing. When he came on, the fact that he was an omission, Dan James got the start, when you could have put Greenwood on the right and Cavani up front, it's like he's going, bro. It's like I think Ole knows that he's like, I'm out. There's no guarantee that the Glazers are gonna buy me a striker next year. So I might as well just start playing Greenwood up front because he's all I got. Martial's hurt. Rashford plays on the left. I guess Ahmad's our right winger, but Cavani's leaving, it seems to be.
I like the Greenwood at 9 nod, but I definitely think if Cavani was staying, it's his to lose. But if he's leaving, then Greenwood's going to get more looks, a la De Gea Hendo.
No, you're totally right. Totally right, sir. It wasn't, you know, we're talking about the subs. Those are the big moments in the second half. 74th minute, Matic came out for Pogba. I don't know if it was injury, if he was just saving him for the weekend, but, you know, good to see the Serbian. We haven't seen a lot of Nemanja Matic this season. I still think he has something to offer. He did have a bad giveaway, but hey, who's talking about that?
He got a yellow too.
He did. He got a yellow for a guy elbow, which is like maybe the one yellow of all the yellows. It's like he did catch the guy, but he made a meal of it. Of course, 77th minute, finally some action towards the end of the game. Telles put in a good ball. Speaking of him, Cavani couldn't get at the end of it. Kind of misread the flight of the ball, but it was a nice ball in from Alex Telles.
Oh yeah, Telles. I mean, this is what he's all about. He has great service, elite service. And in spots like this, I like Telles a lot. I think, unfortunately, maybe Telles spurred on Luke Shaw to this great season, but I do rate Telles.
No, he's got a role to play in this team for sure, but Shaw's playing like lights out football. Looks like one of the best left backs in the world, sir. 83rd minute, Bruno actually had a good chance after James played a nice ball to him. Goalie came out, made a save. Actually, it looked like he was offside anyway, but it was something. So there wasn't a lot of like clear-cut chances in this game.
You're right. It was like literally snooze fest until this. Bruno, another great chance. I thought it went past the keeper, but didn't go over the line. Keeper got his hand to it. I do think it was offsides. But again, James looking good. He comes on late in games. That's why I think maybe sub for James. He had even more pace. I want to see Ahmad, sir. Give me Ahmad.
I know. I thought we were going to see him. I thought we were going to see his like for like right wing, but we didn't see it. Last sub of the game, 85th minute, Donny came on for Greenwood. I do think he looks sharp. I think we could have used him earlier in the game because we had a tough time passing between space based on how many players they had in the middle of the park. And Donny has a great ability to kind of like Donny get through McTominay pressure.
Midfield, Pogba on the wing, come on. And then it's kind of a 4-3-3, you know, 4-2-3-1 at times. Come on, Ole. Hire me. I'm available. I'll sit on the bench with you.
Sir, he's looking for former United legends only. And then, right as the dying moments of the game, sir, 90th minute, I call this karma's a bitch.
What's the referee seeing here? Getting instructions back. Holding on to Bruno Fernandes, a little push in the face of the Portuguese. Well, that must have been what he saw because he gave him a yellow card. And by virtue of that, he must have... Portugal against Portugal. Bruno Fernandes takes on Rui Silva. And Rui Silva should have saved it, but didn't. It creeps underneath, and it gives Manchester United a 2-0 lead to take back home.
Goal.
Bruno, sir. Made a meal of it. Why not? The other team was doing it the whole game. This made me feel good. This is like we earned that penalty, baby, because they've made this match into the biggest shit show slop fest I've ever seen. And Bruno just like, I know this move. He's like, I played in Portugal. I can do this. Way to slot it home. The goalie gets a hand on it. But either way, you're getting a two-goal cushion going back to Old Trafford. Two away goals. It's a great feeling.
Sir, it's dusted. I rarely say that, but this one, Manchester United, we're going to the semifinals, probably playing against Roma. I think that's a great matchup. And then, you know, ooh, we'll get to the results, Europa League results a little later, but you can have a laugh at the Banter FC, as we'll call them on the podcast. Match stats, Manchester United, the majority of the ball, 67% possession to Granada's 33%. Shots on target, 3-3, right down the middle. Again, I think, you know, United fans who were complaining that are you not entertained or saying, hey, we want more, you know, end product, more shots on target. Match reaction, Manchester United have won consecutive away games in Europe against Spanish opposition for the first time ever. We also beat Real Sociedad 4-0 on the road in February 2021, if you recall that. And then they went on to win the Copa del Rey. So that victory actually increased in value since then, sir. And Manchester United registered 4 clean sheets in their last 5 games in Europe. Only 1 goal conceded after managing just 1 shutout in their previous 7 matches in Europe. And Manchester United forward Marcus Rashford became the 4th Premier League player to reach 20 goals in all competitions this season. He's in a nice club, sir. Harry Kane, Salah, and Fernandez. Think of that. 2 of those players were on Manchester United. Not too shabby. And Rashford is the first English player to score 8 goals for Manchester United in European competition in a single season since Sir Bobby Charlton in 64-65. And he's doing it injured, sir. And he's beaten up. Marcus Rashford hasn't played healthy in 2 years. Allegedly, that's what they're saying. And Rashford is the first player to score 20-plus goals in back-to-back seasons for Manchester United in all competitions since Wayne Rooney in 08-09 and 09-10. And, sir, oh, do we remember those years? Those kits, sir. Those kits, I remember. And Bruno Fernandes has scored 19 of his 20 penalties taken for Manchester United in all competitions, sir. Bruno, penalty taker for Manchester United, sir.
Got it locked on. One of the best penalty takers in the world, and I'm glad he is on our team, sir. What a difference it's made just having his personality and his presence, and never says no, never stops pushing. All about Bruno Fernandes. Him and Marcus have just been unbelievable. Another level the last year and a half together. It's like they have been carrying this team on their back for a long time. You know, we got to rotate a little bit. And I think there's a lot of players here that are ready to contribute. And I think putting the onus too much on our two golden boys, you know, we're starting to see a breakdown with Marcus. He's gotten the crap kicked out of him. Never even really recovered from that back injury. Now is the ankle thing. You know he's not going to take a rest this summer. He wants to go play in the Euros. He wants to go represent England. When's he going to get a break? Next, the summer after?
He's a madman. Absolute madman, sir. On and off the pitch, everything he does. You love Marcus Rashford. Sir, let's check in with the results around the Europa League, the glorious Europa League, sir. I'm having an absolute laugh. You know, if you're feeling down.
The Lacazette miss is pretty amazing.
I would highly recommend taking a look at Arsenal Fan TV today. Because they drew Slavia Praha 1-1. And Praha did it at the death, which is like, and they did it at the Emirates, at home. Arsenal at home. Praha gets the away goal going back to the next fixture. I mean, this one, you can't make up. The Arteta, like, bottling the league, looking bad in Europa League. Arsenal fans, like, they're, you want to say when United fans, it's like, think of all the seasons since Fergie has left. And think of this season and everyone whinging the way they're whinging now when we're second in the league and we look odds-on favorite to win Europa League, where it's like, dude, we've had like Arsenal-type meltdowns. Maybe we kind of fixed it and finished sixth, but it's like it could be so much worse.
It could be so much worse. And it's like they're sticking with their man. It's like there's no whispers. I don't want to talk into like a Arsenal tangent, but they have no whispers of like getting rid of Arteta, we went on like a mini slide. I think we were still in Champions League and they were talking about getting rid of Ole. Maybe that's because we got knocked out of the Champions League, but sir, it could be a lot worse. Remember that. It could always be worse.
Ajax lost to Roma 2-1. So, you know, again, it could be Roma. We play the winner of that in the semifinals. And then Villarreal, Dynamo Zagreb. Villarreal won 1-0. Just checking with 538.com, they run all the stats. They recalculated the odds to win the final. Manchester United, 41%. Big time favorite, sir. It's plus 250. Villarreal, 21%. Arsenal, 14%. Crashing down because of that Praha goal. Ajax, 9. Roma, 9. Praha, 4. Zagreb, 1. Granada, less than 1%. Those two goals pretty much done and dusted out of the competition per 538.com. This is our trophy. I want to win this trophy. I want Ole to get the semifinal bad juju off his back. I want the players to get to celebrate in the locker room together. I want this to be a moment for us to kick on. This is something that Ole has clearly shown progress in the league. He wins this trophy. Maybe it could convince people up in the boardroom that he's the man to back. And that's what we need this summer. So, you know, if Ole wins Europa League, we finish second, and you know who, the Glazer scum, do not invest. Time to burn the house down, sir. That's all I got to say. But Ole really needs this cap, this feather in his cap. This one's big. This is big for United. Big momentum right here.
No, it is. You're absolutely right. We got to win a silverware. You know, second place is progress. You can't argue against that. We should finish heads and shoulders, you know, other than City, apart from everybody. I think that's very important to show real progress over a 38-game season. But at the end of the day, Manchester United, clubs of this status, you're judged by silverware. And it's like, I know it's Europa League, I know it's ain't Champions League, but we'll take it. It was good enough for Jose Mourinho. He certainly touted the shit out of it, and we should do the same thing. It's important for the boys to celebrate together and win a trophy, go to a final, and really just beat the... I don't even think Arsenal are going to make it. I think we're going to have to play Villarreal, another Spanish side, in a final, sir. But hey, it's all about those big moments. Maybe even have some fans at the stadium by then. We'll see. But either way, it's about silverware.
You got to win the final.
Of course.
Like Freddie said, you got to have some fucking balls, man. Like, you got to win the final. You can't show up and play like we did today. You get what I'm saying? Like, the way we play today, I'm not going to say this is the way it's going to win us finals. But I'm going to say you need to kind of have games like this in a tournament to get to the final. But we got to look like Manchester United of old at some point if you want to raise a trophy, sir. I would say the football today could be improved. But you have to also just take the results. You know, Spurs this weekend is going to be a big one, sir. This is a big measuring stick, you know. It's like if we come out, we beat Spurs convincingly, no one's going to think about Granada, bro. Then we... You could play a totally different team against them. You could rest players. This whole lead with Granada is worth something because it gives us a cushion in managing the squad going forward.
It does. And some of the players that are going to be big components of the match on Sunday are going to get a break until the following Sunday because they can't feature. That's three players that are almost guaranteed starters on Sunday against Tottenham Hotspur. So it's about the trophies, and it's about winning the next big match, because it is a big match. Jose always wants blood, and they need a win a lot more than we do because they are flailing, bro. And like, actually, United have won 3 on the trot in the league, but let's make it 4.
Sir, have a dark ale. Let's go.
Why not? Have two.
We got next match. That is Tottenham Hotspur versus Manchester United at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Sir, lads, it's Tottenham. We know this one. We play them Sunday, April 11th, 8:30 a.m. Pacific, 11:30 a.m. Eastern. Sir, game week 31, we're coming up on it. Tottenham, this one's big. You got the Mourinho storylines, the old Manchester United manager coming, you know, to try to spoil the plot. Fortunately for us, Tottenham's got to win, right? So they're in a position where they need points. They're fighting for top 4. We're in second. You know, we wouldn't – obviously, I think we're going to play to win. But if the onus is on a team, it's on Tottenham. And that's kind of a riot because they just drew Newcastle. They were winning 2-0 against Newcastle, relegation-bound Newcastle. They come back, pip them. Tottenham are desperate for 3 points. Harry Kane's a player. I don't know. This is going to be a really good game. They beat us 6-1 earlier in the season. We got to avenge that.
That's what I was thinking. First and foremost, it's like we should be out for blood because they embarrassed us at our own home. Lamella, speaking of, he could be playing in Granada, bro. It's like he dove when he got hit in the face by Martial. Soldado, yeah, Tottenham Hotspur, legend right there. Yeah, he looked like a top player. It's about bragging rights, and Tottenham are on the slide, you know, and we need to take advantage of that and stick the knife in a little bit. This is an important win. You got to go down in London and beat them up at their house. You know how they're going to play. You know what they're going to do. They're going to try and counter us like we're pretty good at doing as well. So you need to go out with intent and try and break them down because obviously.
Mourinho's game is tactics have variability. I think they're going to come at us from minute one. I think they're going to play into our game where we're going to counter them. I think they need a win. I think they're going to try to come at us. I think Mourinho's on tilt right now. I mean, he could get fired, right? You know, he goes to like an even – What was the quote he said in the press? He said, they're like, how did you blow a lead like that against Newcastle? He goes, same coach, different players.
I know. He's like,
what a line.
He's already trying to get canned. He's already trying to get canned. It's actually kind of amazing.
No, but are you kidding me? So it's like, and this is when the Ole Mr. Nice Guy, you can't complain. Because Mourinho just literally said, why did you bottle this lead? And instead of taking any ownership at all and like trying to be a leader, he literally says, like, my players are shit. And so, like, literally, you have a Tottenham who's, like, floundering. The manager just threw them under the bus. He's pretty much on the chopping block. So this is just, like, United have to go in and just clean up. I mean, we just got to go in and beat them. And that's why what's funny is, like, you know what's the most Tottenham thing ever? Them beating a 6-1 early in the season and celebrating like they won the league. Because guess what? Where are they right now?
I don't even know.
They got dropped out of Europa League by Zagreb. And they're drawing Newcastle, my man. So it's, like... And they'll be lucky to be in Europa League next season.
No, it's true. And they might be firing their manager right away after one season. So we know how important this game is. Tactics, you said, they might sit back. They might go for it. You don't know it, Jose. You don't know who he's going to pull out of his hat. But either way, they're there to be taken. This is an important game for us because they did us dirty early in the season. And they just dirty in like an embarrassing way. Got a player sent off. We got to take it to them because they're a soft team. Small club, sir. Small club.
Absolutely small club. Lifetime versus Tottenham. We've won 92, drawn 49, lost 53. Lads is Tottenham. First time we ever played them, January 28th, 1899, Tottenham Hotspur versus Newton Heath. We drew in the FA Cup 1-1. Coming into the game, their last five, they beat Dynamo Zagreb 2-0, lost to Arsenal 2-1, lost to Dynamo Zagreb 3-0. Beat Aston Villa 2-0, then the Newcastle draw. So, again, they're kind of sliding. The Mourinho comments, you know how it goes. When it goes bad, Mourinho makes it worse. It's just how he is as a manager. Harry Kane is playing well, though. You said the 27 goals in all accounts for Harry Kane. He's going to be playing. But we got the other Harry Maguire. Going to try to neutralize him. I hope so. Tottenham Hotspur, a little history there. Founded in 1882, they won the FA Cup for the first time in 1901. Sir, they got it started pretty early. The only non-league club to do so since the formation of the Football League in 1888. Little history. In 1882, the first electric tram ran in East London, and the first stone of the Sagrada Familia was laid in Barcelona. But getting close to finishing it, pretty unbelievable, sir. Unbelievable stuff. I like the Sagrada Familia. I like. I'm a fan of Gaudi.
You and me both, brother, and they still haven't finished it. It's unbelievable. It's still not done, but hey.
Well,
I know.
Since I first saw it, they've actually done quite a bit.
No, they have. So, it's true.
You know, it's
it doesn't look the same. It looks like two different designers because it's like they did the old concrete and the new concrete. But 1882, trams running in East London. Who knew?
Sir, in total, Spurs have won 2 league titles. That's a surprise. 8 FA Cups, 4 League Cups, 7 FA Community Shields. And 1 European Cup, Winners' Cup, and 2 UEFA Cups. Sir, they're we said Arlo White's on the C team. Tottenham's on the C team too. You know, they're Arlo White would be a perfect Tottenham Hotspur supporter.
Well, I'm surprised. I don't think he is a former player, but you know that sounds like right up his alley. Isn't Graham a Tottenham Hotspur legend, or is he a Chelsea legend?
Chelsea before they won it.
before they were relevant.
Yes,
before they
yes.
had any oil money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Obviously, Tottenham's big rival is Arsenal. They contest the North London Derby. sir, you know, I was thinking today we're going to talk about Tottenham. And, you know, I've been to the old Tottenham Stadium. I've been – obviously, we go to a lot of Manchester United matches. And the best way to describe the Manchester United fans and then the Tottenham fans, right, because you got to make a distinction between the two, right? Because it's funny. I my first game I ever went to in English football is obviously United, and I've been to a bunch of other teams. And then it's like United is like – when you go to the Bishop's Blaze or you go to the Trafford, sir, it's like the fans in there are absolutely just like, we're going to war. Yep. Like, you know, it's like they need crowd control. They need a lot of police. It's getting loose in there. Shirts are off. Dark ales are flying. Like, everybody's fired up. The whole fan base singing top of the lungs. It's like crazy. I go to a Tottenham match. The pregame at the bar is just like a bunch of nervous fans with like one really drunk guy trying to get everyone to sing, but no one really is into it. And it's just kind of just like a day out in North London. Nothing really special about it. You know, the United fans are just the experience is totally different. And that sums up the clubs, man. Sums up the difference between the clubs. Soft fans, soft players, soft team.
They're a small club. I hate to say it. That's the best way to phrase it. Small club mentality, sir. They call United fans Manchester United Red Army. It's like, ain't no like like the Spurs Red White Army, sir. They're like, we went to see them play at the Wembley against Leicester and Salty Vardy. That was a hell of a day. And the fans, maybe it was like, you know, I gave them the benefit of the doubt that day, but there wasn't much excitement going on in that stadium.
No, it's, it's very pedestrian. It just, you know, Tottenham's got nothing. United has everything. And that's another thing about Manchester United we've talked about is like our fans aren't there. And I think if there was a team that had the biggest advantage for their away support, if there was a team that had the biggest advantage from their home support, it would be Manchester United. And to miss that this year, sir, you know, might I remind you the game we were trying to go to before COVID got shut down, the last game that got shut down was Tottenham. Tottenham away. This is the game.
I know this is the game almost 13 months later, sir. How the world has changed is unbelievable. But it's a huge game because they just like people have given Tottenham far too much credit than they deserve. Arguably should have won that Champions League final. Arguably should have won the Premier League title versus Leicester. Didn't either, but that tells you everything you need to know. Haven't won a trophy since 2008, sir. It's like, let's go remind people. This is a small club. This is like the fourth smallest club in London, bro. West Ham are a cooler club. West Ham got more to be bragging about than Tottenham Hotspur.
Leicester, so just, you know, keeping an eye on top four. You know, obviously winning this game continues to solidify our position in second. West Ham play Leicester City. So obviously we're cheering for David Moyes in that one. Looking up Chelsea here, sir. Chelsea are playing Crystal Palace on Saturday. So that should be a decently easy one for them. And then obviously Tottenham playing us. And then you have Liverpool, Aston Villa. So you're probably looking at Liverpool winning, Chelsea winning, us beating up Tottenham. And then you're definitely rooting for David Moyes to give us some more daylight from second to third.
I certainly hope so, sir. But you know what? We can't expect anybody else to do favors for Manchester United. It's about going out and looking for some revenge. I think that 6-1 is going to stick out very prominently in the back of the boys' minds. The one thing that we have to keep in mind is like they didn't have any midweek Europa League. They didn't have to go travel to Zagreb. It's like they actually got the week off. So they're going to come out quite fresh. We're going to be relying on many of the same players because that's how we do. That's how Ole likes to do it. But there's no excuses. Play like a champion. It's a big game because 6-1. That Lamella flop, sir. It just like burns in my eyes. Martial, we were looking good that game. Martial gets sent off like the 21st minute. Let's go. I'm excited.
Sir, let's get into the injuries. Physioroom.com. Buys out. Just doing buy things. Phil Jones out. Cashing those checks. And Martial, the knee injury, could be out the rest of the season, sir. I didn't hear anything about Shaw. I think Ole was saving him because he had the yellow. And then that meant he has to play him against Tottenham because he can't play him in the follow-up match. As far as Rashford, I don't know. This is going to be a tight turnaround for Rashford. I'm worried. Are you worried about Marcus?
I mean, I think we should save him. he just like, he's the kind of lad that he's tough, right? Born and bred in Manchester, he's tough as nails. He doesn't want to miss a game, right? He wants to go and beat his goal tally from last season, right? 22, he's at 20. You know that's in his mind. He wants to do better than last year. And he also doesn't want to get hurt before the Euros, but we probably should save him. But at the end of the day, he's got a great track record against Spurs. He loves to bag a goal on the counter against them. And I bet he could bag one if we did start him. But, you know, we probably should save him, but I think he's gonna start.
All right, sir, given those injuries, what is your lineup?
So this is what I got. I got Hendo and net. I got a back four, AWB, Lindelof, McGuire, Shaw. I'm going to do the oldie but a goodie. Fred, McTominay, midfield. I'm going to play Pogba a little bit farther up front. Bruno, Greenwood, Rashford.
Sir, we're pretty close here. I think you stole my lineup again. You got to stop doing that. Dean Henderson in net. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Lindelof, McGuire, Shaw, Fred, McTominay. I can get putting Pogba on the left, Bruno in the hole, Greenwood on the right. I'm doing Cavani up top, sir. I'm giving Rashford a bench. I'm putting him on the bench. If we need him, we can get him. But this game, we shouldn't need Marcus Rashford. Plus, you got Dan James, that injection of pace. You could take Cavani off, Greenwood to nine, James on the right. I like that move. You could also, you know, in theory, you could bring Rashford on. You can move Pogba into the two. You put McTominay and Pogba in it too. There's a lot of options when you kind of go with Pogba on the left. So I do like how Ole can change it up. I'd love to see Ahmad. Ahmad, how you doing? Let's go.
I'd love to see Ahmad. We got plenty of time for Ahmad, youngster. I'd love to see Donnie. I'm not sure we will. But I like the idea of bringing Rashford off the bench because he's got pace for days. And why not bring him on in the 60th minute? Hopefully the game's tight or even we got a goal up. But the boy needs to be rested. There's a lot of big games left to play this season. This is a big one. I think we still have the Scousers, but this is one of the biggest ones left. He doesn't want to miss any matches, so likely he's going to start, sir. Likely he's going to start.
Laz is Tottenham. Booking the bookies. United are favorites here. Plus 145 to win. The draw, plus 240. Tottenham to win, plus 190. First goal scorer, it is Harry Kane. Number one, plus 410. Gareth Bale. Then Son, then Fernandez, then Cavani, then Ahmad, and then Rashford. It seems the bookies think Rashford is going to get a rest.
Sounds like it. I don't know how Ahmad's above him in the depth chart, but maybe that's it. Maybe they think he's going to get a blow. They saw him come off injured. I'd love to see Ahmad feature. You know, I would have loved to see Ahmad feature today, but maybe he's trying to protect him because he knows, you know, he doesn't want him to go down injured, and he knows that, you know, the Welsh wizard Dan James could take a beating. That boy could take a beating. Certainly has. Certainly did today.
Sir, what is your score prediction for Tottenham Hotspur?
Sir, I think United rip them open 3-0. Go do the business. Get a goal. They push forward. Tear them open on the counter and get a penalty. Like we got. We did get one penalty. I think the 6-1. The one was a penalty. We're getting a penalty too down in London. Sir, what do you got?
Sir, I hate to say it. This game's got 0-0 written all over it. You got Jose Mourinho. You got a tired Manchester United. Arguably, the draw is okay with us. I think we're going to be playing careful because of that. You know, essentially, we're going to say, hey, Tottenham, it's on you to want to attack. I think there's going to be some brinksmanship here. And without a clear breakthrough, you're probably going to see a 0-0. I hate to say as a United fan, but like I said, 4-1 against Granada, we looked like it was going to be 1-0, like nothing doing. As far as Mourinho goes and United and Rashford needs a rest, you know, this thing is 0-0.
No, I could see it like being real cagey affair. Both teams will just sit back. No, I want it to be wide open. Like that game actually did start. The 6-1 game started great until we got a player sent off. It was completely open. I see this more like both teams sitting back trying to counter and just being like real cagey. But either way, we are in a better position. You know, we don't need to win quite as much. We want it. We always want to win. But, you know, they're thirsty. They're thirsty for a win, sir. They're dying. They're dying on the vine.
To show you how thirsty, I mean, West Ham's in fourth, right? 52 points. And if they win, they're tied 52 if Leicester City beat them. So, I mean, this is like must win territory for Tottenham right now. So, you know, Jose, I have to think they're going to have to come at us. You know, I'm going to say 0-0. I'm just kind of, you know, playing a concern. I was thinking about 2-2, 1-1, but, you know, I'm going to say 0-0 so the game's very exciting. How about that? The opposite.
I love it. Maybe look at that 4-1 that you called against Granada, sir.
Let's go, sir. Let's go. We got some news. United in the news. Manchester United set to explore signing Declan Rice as part of any West Ham deal for Jesse Lingard. This is from The Athletic. Jesse Lingard on loan at West Ham, playing absolutely lights out, sir. The highlights, the dancing. You know, it's like seeing an old girlfriend dating somebody else. So, you know, Jesse Lingard, he needs to be coming back to Manchester United. What is going on? Why don't we want him at Manchester United? He looks like he's doing great.
Yeah, he's playing for a different team, though. He's playing for a team that, when they play teams, they don't just like pack it in and expect for you to break them down, right? They push forward. He gets to play on the break nonstop, and that's where he's best suited. And also, he's a star man. He's their, like, one of their starting players, whereas he cannot be guaranteed that same amount of starting time at Manchester United. And I also think, like, you know, who's to say he would have flourished and had this like kind of like resurgence at United unless he was guaranteed starting spots. So this might be the best of both worlds. We're cheap as it comes. We're not, Lingard doesn't have a future at Manchester United, but we certainly want Declan Rice. I think there's a chance that, that they try to like spin this as a signing. Like, here's your new number seven, Jesse Lingard. Well, I'm waiting for that.
Sir, flashback, PSG at home, Manchester United. Who's starting that game?
Lost that game.
What?
Yeah, we lost
that game. Saying, on the run, that we, when we went to that game, we went on this run. What players were critical to that run?
That was Paul Pogba. That was like a million years ago, though, at this point, sir.
No, but I'm telling you. Paul Pogba, Marcus Rashford, Tony Martial, and Jesse Lingard. They tried it. Jesse was on the right. He was absolutely lights out for Manchester United. He's playing that way for West Ham right now. He obviously has some personal stuff going on. I would rather have him back at Manchester United and just buy Declan Rice. Why not both? You know, some people will say, oh, well, we don't want him back. It's like, as far as you've seen the transfer policy at Manchester United, beggars can't be choosers. He looks to be in good form. He's playing in England. He's going to be playing all summer in the Euros. Why don't you say, hey, I think Ole has this thing where he really likes certain players and he doesn't like other ones. And I think there was that dynamic with Jesse. And that's why you saw Jesse Alston play lights out at West Ham, because Ole, for some reason, doesn't like him. And that's probably why Ole doesn't rotate as much as he should. He has, like, he plays favorite a lot. And I think this Jesse is one where he got it wrong, because we really need depth on the right wing. And Jesse Lingard could be that player, but he's not for us. And it makes no sense to me.
Well, I mean, his form dipped off in a serious way. He was getting – and remember the last time we went on a run, when we came out of the COVID break, he was nowhere involved in any of our resurgence. He didn't play at all, you know, and, like, he couldn't even get into that squad. We added a Donny van de Beek. We now have an Ahmad. It's like, I don't think he's ahead of that – we talked about this before. I don't think he's ahead of the pecking order that Donny van de Beek should be. I know it's like maybe Lingard on his day is a little bit more exciting. But I also hear what you said, because I know this club and I know Ed Woodward, and I know that we're not going to be like a like for a like, get one in, get one out. So
okay.
I'm more open to having Jesse back, because I don't think we're signing very many players this summer at all.
Okay. If we get Jadon Sancho, we don't need Jesse Lingard. Totally agree. Are we getting Jadon Sancho?
No.
So then who else? Haven't heard of him yet. Because they're coming out of the bargain bin. So then why not take Jesse? Academy lad, proven in the EPL, and you just like clear the slate and you give him reps at right wing. I mean, it works out perfectly with Ahmad. Ahmad's really young. You got James as well. I don't know. It'd be a shame for me if he's playing this well. If you've seen the highlights, it's unbelievable. And then we're just going to Edward was going to botch this deal anyway. It should be like a straight up swap deal.
Should.
Because Jesse's playing worth, like, he's worth 40, 50 million. And then we're still going to pay West Ham 30, 40 for Declan Rice. It should be a straight, it should be like a,
should be like
plus 20,
plus 20
swap, plus 30 with incentives. And so I think if you get Declan Rice and you give him Lingard, it really comes down to, as long as you don't pay more than 20 million, it's a deal. Right, and Jesse's doing us a favor right now by playing so well.
He is. And you also have to remember, look at the makeup of the Academy boys that are bursting through. We actually have a lot of really good wingers. It's like we have Alanga is a player that people are only just talking about. You obviously have Imad. You know, it's like, I think if you can use him as a piece in the negotiation, but you know what, he's going to blow it. It should be like Jesse plus 20, but they're going to say Jesse plus 50. I hear what you're saying. Part of me is like, I hear what you're saying, but it's also like, we should be getting Jadon Sancho and Lingard should be going on his way and doing well for West Ham. And that should be fine for everybody. But instead, because we're not going to be successful in the transfer market this summer, we're just assuming that like Jesse Lingard's better than nobody. And I also hear that as well. I've seen how these summer windows have gone. Sir, it's conflicting, but you know, John Murtaugh, he's going to be pulling rabbits out of his hat from the DOF.
Dude, it's going to be crazy. But like, honestly, Eddie, prove me wrong here, because look, obviously as a United Academy player, Lingard, I want to see him do well at United. But if Eddie can do a great negotiating job and get a good deal and get Rice out of there, that would be a win too. So it just showed me the right deal, and this makes sense, but it isn't Lingard plus 40 million. And apparently the valuations of Rice is like insane from West Ham. So, you know, it could be one of those where Ole doesn't want Lingard, but because Eddie can't get a deal done, Ole's forced to get Lingard back. We'll keep you posted. Next bit of news here. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer draws up six-man center back shortlist as Manchester United backup plan. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and John Murtaugh, they've been doing all the research on all the center backs. They've decided on a six-man shortlist ahead of the summer. According to Eurosport, they got Koundé from Sevilla, Villarreal's Torres, Varane from Real Madrid, and RB Leipzig's, Konate. Sir, who would be your first choice? I think this is kind of like when you're making your Christmas list and you're like, hey, mom, I want like a new car, you know, and she's like, you're going to get like maybe a new button down shirt. You know, it's kind of one of those where they're going to ask for Varane, like not a chance. It's like you can ask, but you ain't getting it.
I mean, I would be happy with all of those players. Because we need backup. Like, Bai wants to leave, but Bai is never available. Bai just got COVID on international break. So, you know, when he's going to be back in the fold anyway, we need another center back, like, no doubt. Obviously, first choice would be Varane, because he's like a World Cup winner. We've been trying to chase him for 10 years. Zidane swooped in front of Fergie and snatched him up. Koundé at Sevilla is a top player. Konate is also a top player. And Torres isn't bad as well. But what do we get? Like you said, I want that car, and my mom might be getting me socks and being like, hey, Phil Jones, let's re-up that contract, baby. Here we go. Four more years.
Is center back number one position we got to address this summer?
So we've been riding Harry like a horse. I mean, yes. Not number one. I mean, you probably need a striker. We need a lot of positions, but arguably, you can make the argument that it's center back. If you ask me to make that argument, I can make it. Because
I'll tell you, Ed Woodward literally promoted Murtaugh to director of football. This summer is absolutely insane from a musical chairs perspective, right? Cavani's out. Like, I'm telling you, he's out. All the signs, he's gone. That, like, the fact that we need Cavani to re-up is just like because they just don't want to have to deal with trying to get another body in. So they're going to have to get another number nine. It's going to be you can't get Aguero, who would be the easy deal. Then you got to go bargain bin. Then you're getting a youngster, but you already have Greenwood, who's a young number nine. So who do you really pair with them? Then you need to fix the right wing. That should have been done last summer. Then you need a center back. That should have been done last summer. And oh, by the way, if Paul Pogba leaves, you need a CDM. So it's like you got to do this like Jesse Lingard Rice deal. You got to try to get Jadon Sancho on the cheap, who Dortmund said they're not selling for cheap. They're going to get all the Haaland money. They're going to cash in on him. So then they can be stingy with Sancho. Then you need a number nine. Then you need a center back, sir. And we're talking about right back as well. I mean, talk about the bodies that can be moving in and out of this club this summer. It's unbelievable. Murtaugh, I mean, he's going to get thrown under the bus. and this club, you know, it's almost like you got to pray for Pogba to stay for his contract to expire. You got to hope that, right? It's stupid, but you got to hope because next year you need him. You need Pogba next year at United. You can't be – like, basically you need a center back, a right wing, and a number nine. They could do that in a summer. But if they can't deal Pogba and get his replacement in and get a center back and get a right winger and get a number nine on the Glazers' shoestring budget, that's not possible. And that's what's really scary for United fans. Like, we could finish strong this year, and if Pogba decides to bounce, we could be in trouble.
Pogba's trying to bounce. So I think the best-case scenario is you're not – I mean – you kind of replaced him with Donny van de Beek in a sense. That is the new midfielder that's going to step up. He's not as good as Paul Pogba, but like positionally, he is similar. And a CDM you've needed for a while to replace Matic or be an upgrade on Fred because he's not good enough. We love Fred, but he's not going to win you Champions Leagues. So you do that with Declan Rice. Best case scenario is you can trade Pogba for another asset that you need anyway. And the only thing that makes sense on this list is Varane because like he wants to go to either Juventus or Real Madrid. Varane's also in the last year of his deal. Similar age, similar value. That's the sir, that is like a Hail deal. Mary, sir. That is a Hail sir, Mary full of grace. Like,
what is this? Like, what do you got? Like Varane on the background of your cell phone? Like, what? Like,
I'm just talking about possible options.
No, I would. Varane, like, dude, like, you've been pumping Varane all day. Pogba for Varane. That's Pogba's like your
leaving.
Deal.
Pogba is leaving, and what? So we're gonna take $35 million from Juventus. Or play one more season at least for free and laughs out the door, bro. $89 million down the drain. It's like, I think the best thing possible is get a player in that maybe he wants to play for Manchester United.
But the reason why, and this is why being a director of football is so hard, is that there's attrition, right? So every year you're losing 3 to 4 players. So it's like you got to keep your head above water. And for United to have a really good season, and finish strong, if we win Europa League, finish second in the league, for us not to have like a world-class director of football who can handle moving these bodies and getting the replacements in, it's the more bodies that shit change, I think the more regression you're going to see in the squad, right? Because you need that consistency, that core group, and losing like a Pogba or even a Cavani, you know, it's good. And if you don't replace them with a caliber of player that is required, sir, you're going to regress. It's just going to happen. And this is such a critical summer. I'm nervous.
No, you should be. You should be because I'm nervous too. And why would Ed Woodward and the Glazers appoint John Murtaugh, their first director of football in history? Because it's going to be a shit summer, bro. It's like we got $80 million in the bank. We owe $240 million this year in the next 12 months.
I wish him luck.
I saw why.
He can do it. Honestly, I think like if you look at the players we got, that deals can be done, sir. You know, let's make a deal. Deals can be done. They can do a good job. We can get away with murder. But if you look at the track record to date, it's been rough. So Murtaugh, have a go, son. I'm cheering him on. But like, prove me wrong, man. I just see a lot going on. And based on like the we can only negotiate one deal at a time with like not getting Sancho, like basically calling Dortmund and offering the wrong price over and over. That's the only thing we could do all summer until the last day when we sign whoever will have us. It's just like, I need to see some improvement from United. We got to start like making moves, doing deals. And oh, by the way, Euros is going to mess it all up, sir.
No, it is.
No deals happen during Euros, bro.
And we need a lot of players this summer because it's like we've had some really bad transfer windows over and over again. And I just don't think they have the cash. You know, we haven't had the cash stream of having match day fans and have that $1.5 million a game just cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. So it's going to be like last summer again, right? Loan deals. Maybe a swap. Okay, so you don't think there's any legs in the Varane deal. Maybe Dybala, Juventus. But then you have like, okay, does Dybala want to play at Manchester United?
Sir, you're the only person I've heard of the Varane Pogba swap deal.
Sir, because I'm on the horn with Raiola, bro. Asking for pizza recommendations in Milan. I don't know, sir. I'm just saying is like
Ronaldo. Like if we could get like. You know, Ronaldo, there's a chance sir. Ronaldo can come to Manchester United. I'm going to say. So, you know what? You say you like Varane. I'll say Ronaldo to United. Yeah,
your
what about
boy,
that?
Sir. There you go.
Let's go. Next news. We touched on it. Cavani, closer than ever to Boca Juniors, sir. Sounds like he wants to go back to South America. He spent one winter in Manchester and said, you know what? I'm good. We're hearing a lot of chatter about this deal. The release clause, as far as the option that United have, they're willing to pay, and he's going to get 4 million euros a year. A lot of details coming out on the Boca Juniors deal. This seems to me like with the benching, it's done. I mean, this one scares me because Cavani for another year would just give us like
options.
Just give us one less body we got to deal with. you know, it's kind of like he's older, Greenwood's coming up, Martial's going to heal up, and then we can kind of do it with Cavani, Greenwood, Martial, and Rashford. In my opinion, not good enough for Manchester United, but it's good enough. Now, if you lose Cavani, you have to get a body in, and you're talking about upfront transfer costs, and then you're adding it to all the other positions we need. That's when it's going to be a shit show for Murtaugh. Again, we'll keep you posted. Another bit of news here. New documentary coming out called The United Way. It's directed by Eric Cantona, sir. It's set for release in May. Gotta watch this one. It covers from the Munich air disaster to 1999, winning the treble, sir. Doesn't cover anything after that, sort of the doldrums we've been experiencing. But if you're a United fan, you got to keep an eye out for that one. We will definitely be watching and talking about it on the pod, and a perfect time for it to be released after the season finishes. So let's hope we can do that team from 1999 justice. And then we got to get to it, sir. The new kits have dropped.
Ugh.
You know, this is the new kit season.
Have leaked. All,
I don't know if these are like from China and they're like mocking them up, but usually see these China mock-ups. They're usually pretty close to what the final product is. So you got to judge out of 10. You see the home, the away. So the home is the red basic. Then the away is the kind of light blue kind of take on that old kit, the retro. And then you got like a dark navy with yellow for the third. What do you think of Team Viewer? What do you think of the kits? You know,
I mean, I want to just do a shout out. It's like in the lead up to announcing who the new shirt sponsor of Manchester United was going to be, Eddie and his boys, the Sun, were like, we are negotiating with a top American software company. And I just like, the more you see that Team Viewer, bro, I'm like, who? I give it a 7. I mean, the logo is aesthetically more
7.
I can't even see the whole thing. It's like the photo is like pretty shopped. I'm assuming this is cheapo versions of the final kit, right? They're like, you know, when you make a copy of a copy of a copy, it starts to look worse and worse. Sir, I mean, seven. I give 7. I'm being generous. I'm grading 7. With a curve. What do you give it?
Dude, these are just like, sir, I'll tell you, ever since Chevrolet came on our kit, I haven't bought one Manchester United jersey. Could be part Glazer protest, part I can't wear that gold grill on my chest. I just don't like it. Not for me. Also, the Adidas thing. The Adidas kits have just been a nightmare ever since the Adidas came in. Even purchasing the merch on the site is no good. These look atrocious, sir. I give them a 2. Like, you know, I've been waiting for 8 years to buy a non-Chevrolet kit, and I don't even want to go anywhere near this, sir. I don't even want to buy it. I mean, It looks like a knockoff. Team Viewer looks terrible. What is a Team Viewer? It's like devaluing the brand of Manchester United. Like, you know, I said Oracle, you know, like something.
SAP. There's a German software company I've heard of. Like, how about one I've heard? Dude, I'm in software. You know, never heard of Team Viewer.
You know, something like big, you know, for some reason, this one's just. So you're watching. Value of the shirt sponsor went down. You know, and that just shows you this. These are the times. And so like, that's why the Glazers got to sell, because the value of the front of the shirt's going down. I mean, Manchester United should be like Real Madrid, Manchester United, Barcelona, the most expensive shirt sponsors. And we got Team Viewer, bro. These kits look bad. Adidas doing another bad job. I need Nike back. You know, it's like, I also think generally kits have gotten bad, you know.
Yeah, they phoned it in more, but Adidas is definitely a step down from Nike. But also, it's more importantly, it's like the Team Viewer. We've talked about this last time when the news broke. It's an indictment of where the club's headed and how it's been run, right? Because it's like it's arched and is like heading straight down, because Chevy, for all we disliked about the logo, sir, you've heard of Chevy. You see Chevy. I see Chevy every day. Big logo.
Sir, I have nothing against Chevrolet the car.
It's the grill.
If it was all white monochrome, I would buy that shirt in a second. It would look way better.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. But
the gold grill, I can't do it.
I know. I hear you. But at least you've heard of the logo. It's just like, this is a bad sign. It's a bad sign. But hey, they're not great. I gave him a 7. You gave him a 2. We'll call it 5.
The point I made on the other the last five was, you know what makes me like jerseys? Titles.
Yep.
So it's like, you win titles in this Team Viewer, I'll buy it.
Yeah, memory. It's basically exactly. You know
what I'm saying? It's like, Why is the 99 jersey so special? Is the 99 jersey special because it just looks good, or is it because they won the treble, sir? It's because they won the treble, you know? Have you ever won the treble like Gary Neville? I don't know. Fan question, sir. Let's get into it. This has marathon pod feel. I absolutely love it. At Dave Paz on Twitter, it wasn't pretty, but a win is a win. This team lacks a really dominant midfielder. Could Jimmy G be the man because he's been brilliant at Forest? Gardner's been unbelievable for Forest. 2 goals this week, sir. Jimmy G, is he the man to do it?
He might be the man eventually, but I don't think he's quite ready. I think he needs another year, maybe playing in the championship or a lower Premier League side. Dude, Paul Pogba is in this midfield. We can't stitch together. It's like, I mean, you're not going to get many players who have better capacity than Paul Pogba. So it's like, I think we got to figure something else out. Maybe it's the rotation. Maybe it's who he's playing around. Maybe it's tactics. We got some young, exciting players, Jimmy Gardner included, who should contribute for this team. But in the meantime, we need top talent. That's why, like, a Declan Rice ready to go tomorrow. You slot him in behind a Pogba. It makes you a better team.
Totally. Totally. Absolutely. But Declan Rice.
They said $80 million. They said $80 million for Declan Rice.
30 for Lingard, you know, 30. It's like Eddie just can't do deals, dude. It's like he can't get deals done.
It's Jughead, too. Matt Judge is in charge of negotiations. Still in charge of negotiations. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Murtaugh, take those reins, bro.
Yes, boss, I'll do it.
Team viewers.
At Jamal Mota, sirs, phew, coming out the performance 2-0 away from home is a blessing. I didn't want Rashi to play, but glad he did, and what a dime from the Iceman. Bruno ultimately gave him a taste of their own medicine, falling down in a cheeky way in the box. Hashtag glory, glory, Man United. At IC1, sloppy win, I'll take it, 2 away goals, and boy, next week, no Shaw, no McSauce, no Slabhead. Going to need to step it up big time. What do you make? Big names out, and we have a 2-goal lead. So are you worried not having McSauce, Slabhead, or Shaw at home?
You know, I'm not worried because I think this forces Ole's hand to rotate probably more than they wanted to. And I think this team, you know, it's going to be Lindelof probably and Twanzebe. Dude, Twanzebe's ready to play. Tellus is ready to play. And McTominay, you know, we have midfielders. We got Matic, we got Pogba, we got Fred, we got Donny van de Beek. So bring it on, man. And we have the advantage. We can sit back and counter all day. That's what we do.
At Jordan_R, quote, wish United could be a bit more ruthless and kill him off, but might have to wait until next season after some rest and another trophy. I agree, Jordan. I honestly think we're haggard, whether it's haggard mentally and physically. We just look like I also think it's one of those things where Ole's reluctance to rotate doesn't help cure us of that haggardness. At Burkett Mets, assured performance, big goal there at the end with Scott, Harry, and Luke set to miss out in a week's time. I think Bruno was willing to trade one more curve in his nose for that goal too. Hashtag glory, glory, Man United. Bruno, absolutely, he's a legend, and I feel like he doesn't get the credit he deserves sometimes, sir. We talk about 19 penalties out of 20 since he joined Manchester United. That's absolutely uncanny. At Pistol Grip Poet, quote, this was the type of game you point to when people say United has all the refs in their pocket.
Haven't had refs in our pocket since 2013, sir. This is Real Madrid. Remember that game?
Dude.
Oh, my God.
It's Sir Alex Ferguson, you know, without him. At Roland Deep 1995, patient, resilient win. We have 2 away goals. Advantage sucks that we're going to miss a lot of players through suspension, but we just need to see out the result, which I think we can do. On to Spurs and Granada again. At MJ Fit 16. Some CONCACAF style shithousery from a Spanish side.
I like that.
Hope those yellows don't keep us from winning this second rate tournament. Totally agree. This is CONCACAF. If you ever watch U.S. men's national team, you know, not only you're fighting the refs, you're fighting the players. It's all against you. I felt like it was all against us in Granada, aside from the streaker.
That was the most exciting thing before the goal. No, it's true, but you know what? It's all about those goals, those away goals, clean sheets, and we were the better team. They just pulled us into an absolute mud fight, and it became not a great watch. So hopefully at Old Trafford, we're in the driver's seat, and we can just rip them open and then just be like, ha, 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 ha. Looking forward to that.
At Ty Kircher, quote, still looking a bit choppy after coming back from the break, but they've churned out 2 important wins since coming back. Got to keep grinding out results. Halfway to the semifinal, the match versus the ex-girlfriend approaches. Lads, it's Tottenham. Sir, you know, it's true. It's like we have been choppy. It's like it's kind of like you're a boxer who's gotten away with like letting your hands down a little bit in a few matches. Is someone going to catch you? Could Mourinho catch us? You know, I'm worried. It's like we keep getting away, grinding these results. Are we due for like a crash down loss, or are we just going to keep getting away with it until we kick on? It's kind of, you don't know which way it's going to go. We've kind of been treading water a little bit.
I mean, I think the defense has been solid. I think that's something that was an issue months ago. And now we are, this is the definition of grinding out results. Brighton was like it. This is like a West Ham game was like it. Sometimes it takes grinding out results, not always pretty. I think, you know, if you freshened up the squad a little bit, I think that would help. You know, add some creativity, change up what teams are going to expect before you even do it. Dude, we're all ready to see Donny play more. Come on, baby. And Ahmad, where you at?
Let's go. We're going to finish with this one at Meacher 1024. Another nervy one, but do we expect anything else? Great to get that second goal right at the end, though. Bruno. I mean, sir, did we expect anything else against Granada? I guess I predicted 4-1. I felt like we could just absolutely boss him around the pitch, but I think we're tired. It looks to me like we're tired. You know, the whole idea that Ole isn't telling them to increase the tempo, or like somehow the fans know that that's what we're missing. You know, like Ole's telling them that go play slow and side to side. I don't think that's what he's telling them. I think they're just beat, you know?
And you can't blame them. It's been relentless, dude. It's been like a relentless season. It hasn't stopped. We've been two games a week since the beginning of December, like 5 months.
Sir, when we did the pod, I mean, like it's been so long since I can remember, but the pod used to be
on the weekends. Like like every once in a while midweek, and we've basically been every 3-4 days, sir.
Sir, no, it used to be where we would just do a recap pod and then a preview pod, but because we're playing so much, the pod has turned into recap preview every time. Sir, you know, pod never sleeps, baby. Pod never sleeps. Let's go.
You got it. Number one fans in the world, American Red Devils. We're going to take you there all the way. Sir, better times are ahead. John Murtaugh is going to pull off a doozy. He's going to be picking players out off of Europe, you know, free agents. A lot of good players are going to be free agents in a year from now.
No, but like Tottenham's the best example. They beat us 6-1. Like the season's so long, and now look where they are. It's like have a laugh at them. Have a laugh at Arsenal. Look at all these teams. Chelsea. Come on, mate. It's like United is in a great position. We might be like bouncing off the bottom towards the end. We might be grinding it out, but you know, as a whole, this season is like, it's a hell of an achievement, especially in this like COVID short season where you didn't have any preseason, sir. And it's absolutely been a nightmare on all fronts. And you know, we just got to cheer the lads on all the way to the finish line. And I just hope we can get into a big final. There's still a big semifinal to come. There's still some big EPL matches to come, and we have a lot of football, sir. And we got to enjoy it before it's all gone. Cause you know, it's already April, and May, it's all over.
It's all over until the Euros, and then the season getting going in August again, sir. You better get used to this cadence of basically nonstop podcasts. Tell the wives, never slowing down. Can't stop, won't stop.
Absolutely. If you like the American Red Devils, we're for fans, by fans. Support the podcast. Check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. Check out our blog, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. While you're there, check out our online store, all the merch. The Patreon support goes right back into this podcast. That's what we're about, creating the number one independent fan content platform. No special interests, just fans giving you that bias, take from the couch. Write a review on iTunes, sir. It's been an amazing week for downloads. Give us your top cities last 7 days.
Sir, number one, how you doing? Steamwood, Illinois, Petaluma, California, Bend, Oregon, Chicago, Illinois, Scottsdale, Arizona, Oslo, Norway. Appreciate you. Waco, Texas. Number eight, LA, California, Indianapolis, Indiana. And last but not least, Venice, Florida. Appreciate all the downloads, all the American Red Devils listening week in, week out. So the pod never sleeps. These boys are haggard, but we're not haggard. I got 15 rounds left in me. Let's go. Can't wait. I don't even know where the final is in Europa League, but we're going there. It's going to be a wonderful night.
mentally. This is the most exciting time of year, sir. It's, I feel like, you know, you get into that early to mid-December, Santa Claus is coming to town. It's like trophies are going to be lifted. This is the time of year. You know, it's like we are in big in Europa League, and that's important for us because it's almost like fans feel like we're not in for a trophy, and it's like I want to be lifting it. You know, last year, whatever the format was, you could blame it on that Sevilla spoiler, yada yada yada, but United were in for it. It's gonna be a big finish this season, and obviously we got some, you know, big trophies. Champions League, sir, I'm a fan of the game, you know, I'm a fan of the game. Champions League going on, it's like this is the best time of year, man. The big teams, big games, trophies are being lifted, big finishes, top four, relegation battles. I love it as a fan, sir. There's only 2 months left. Let me do it all again.
So I love this game. I love this game, the greatest of all. We got to end on a high. Let's do it. Let's take home a piece of silverware and then kick on from there. Big summer, even bigger next year.
Sir, as always,
kicking a blue.